Ladies and gentlemen, just off the top, Hunter, I was going to be absolutely insufferable if Royal pulled out that win in the alumni game.
Well, Royal never had a chance.
Absolutely. Never had a chance. They had the lead with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, with who quarterbacking the Navy team? Two-minute drill, John Beck. They had to change the rules to give Royal a chance.
I had to sit here.
But let's give Royal one more go at it, just to see.
I had to sit here and listen to you repeat the word cooked as if we were on Iron Chef.
Yeah, and Austin didn't even play because
Austin had one catch.
Because he had a bad ankle.
Trevor was out here telling me 3 catches for 150 yards.
And he would have if he didn't.
He left the game.
Lost his ankle. Also.
But we knew that would happen because it was Trevor who predicted it.
A lot of buts.
That's true. Austin, if you listen to this, I'm so sorry. I will never speak ill or positively of you ever again because it doesn't matter. It all ends up bad.
And Criddle didn't even play.
Brian Logan was faking injuries. I told you. Like this, I knew this game was going to be close. We all knew it. It didn't matter that one of Ty Detmer's starting center was like 300 pounds and 75 years old.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I have no idea. There was someone and someone he took a picture with someone who I was just like, wow, that could be my dad.
They all
anyway
your dad. 50 years
old. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hype Cruise podcast. This is the week, brethren. Are we ready to live out our Lonely Island dreams?
I honestly am so excited. I mean, this is not only is it have just a BYU theme, it's got BYU players there, and actually just realized, Hunter, I get to meet you in person for the first time, so that's a plus.
Whoa.
But on top of that, Taylor and I, this will be our first vacation where we have either one or the other kid. They're going to be at the in-laws. And so we're kind of looking at this like, wow, like BYU themed, but also we get to hear ourselves think for the first time in what's been a couple of years now. And so it's an exciting time for everybody involved.
Trevor is going to freaking let loose on this cruise.
I might have a caffeinated soda or two, you know? Bow, bow, bow. Oh, gosh.
He's got that interior room view.
I'm with you, Trevor. My wife is awesome enough to let me go on this trip over a honeymoon, or sorry, our anniversary weekend. Our anniversary is on the 30th.
I mean, that's just a big bonus. You get an anniversary cruise. What are you talking about?
I know. Yeah, I know.
You're welcome, honey. Freaking anniversary cruise. You kidding me?
As I spend all my time with the boys.
That's true. She can hang out. The wives can hang out. I'm sure they'll be. Taylor
loves Kayla, so we're chilling.
It'll be great. My sister's going to be there with her kids. It's going to be an absolute party the entire time. Yeah, dude, I'm so excited. I haven't seen my nephew's a stud. Like future QB1, absolute animal on the football field. So I'm excited to. He comes from a split home. My sister went to the U, and his stepdad went to BYU, and I obviously am steering him in the right direction. But this, I'm anticipating
him in the right direction. That's for sure.
By the end of it, I'm just gonna be like, Cade, look, the Utah didn't take you on a cruise. Like,
let's get real.
Oh, I guess I just put they're coming.
Yes.
That's awesome. Sorry, I don't know where I was for all of that. I was too busy looking at our transfer portal news, but that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a blast. So hope you're there. If anyone's going, we'd love to meet you. I'm sure the players would love to meet you, and it's going to be a fun time.
And we will be doing interviews while we're on the boat. I believe they'll be put out on Coop Connect first. I think on their YouTube, on their website, all that stuff. So if you want exclusive access, early access to those interviews. You can go subscribe to Coug Connect. I think it's what, like $10 a month. And that money goes to the players. I think like 90% of it goes to the players. They've got a friggin' laundry list of BYU athletes that they support. I mean, you talk about like Max Tooley, Keanu Hill, Cody Epps, Jake Retzloff, Aiden Robbins is on there, BYU's new starting running back. So a lot of BYU football players that you can support, as well as I think Trevin Nell from the basketball team. $10 a month, you support the players, you get exclusive access to insider reports directly from the players, both before and after games. And then as well, you can get kind of early access to the interviews that we're going to be doing, because we're going to be talking with, I think, all four players, Max Tooley, Keanu Hill, Miles Davis, and Mason Wake. So who we've had Mason on before, so that'll be fun. First recurring guest, Mason Wake. But should be a blast, should be a lot of fun. If you're not coming on the cruise, but you want to kind of see what we're doing and hear from the players directly, make sure you go subscribe to Coug Connect.
Love it. Okay, so other news this week. It is NFL draft. It is the week of the NFL draft. We anticipate BYU is going to have three players drafted. Kind of want to get your quick reaction. Where do you think they'll get drafted, and what's your ideal landing spot?
You want to start, Trevor?
You got it.
I'm going to say, give me Blake Freeland in the third round. His ideal landing spot is give me the New England Patriots. They're looking for some tackles. They've let a couple of tackles go. They've traded away tackles in the last couple of years. They're in the market for a tackle. I think most NFL mock drafts have them selecting someone, an offensive tackle at 14th, which is their pick in the first round. I'd prefer them to go cornerback personally. Because I do think Blake will be there in rounds 2, 3, 4, maybe. And I think the Patriots could get an absolute steal in Blake Freeland. That's a little bit biased of an answer, but give me Blake to the New England Patriots. I'm going to save the best for last, but give me Puka. Puka's so interesting because, like, I look at him and I think he's a better wide receiver than Dax Milne. Like, I don't think there's any argument that, like, Puka's not a more talented wide receiver than Dax Milne. And Dax Milne was a 7th-round pick to the Washington Commanders. And I just, like, I don't see a whole lot of drafts that, like, have Puka being, like, a 6th-7th-round pick. Like, I think a lot of them kind of have him undrafted. But give me Puka in the 7th round as far as teams. I don't know. Like, wide receiver is so interesting because teams are always just going to pick wide receivers. And if they make the roster in fall camp, great. And if they don't, like, you can never have too many wide receivers. And you put them on the practice squad. Or if you're Dax Milne, you know, you have him returning punts. But give me Puka to, I don't know, the Raiders? Why not? It's close. He's a Vegas kid. Like, BYU fans can go see him. He's originally from Las Vegas before his family moved to Orem. So give me Puka to the Las Vegas Raiders. I know Chandler will like that. I don't know if they need a wide receiver, but why not? And then Jaren Hall. I'm going to just say Jaren Hall is a 4th-round pick. And as far as teams go, I saw this, as much as this pains me to say, I saw him mocked to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I feel like that could be really, really good. Like, really, really good. You got Andy Reid, obviously, offensive genius. A lot of the offensive system and style from Aaron Rodgers at BYU is similar to the kind of stuff that Andy Reid likes to run in the NFL. You can sit behind Mahomes pretty much for your entire first contract. And then you can either sign on and stay as a backup to Patrick Mahomes and make good NFL backup quarterback money, or you can come in during blowouts or when Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, like we've seen, you know, the Kansas City backup. Was it Chad Henne the last couple of years came in?
Anything is possible.
And you can make some money, and maybe, you know, someone takes a flyer on you as a starter. So I'm going to say 4th-round Jaren Hall to the Kansas City Chiefs, even though that's not going to allow him to be a starting quarterback, at least right off the bat. But I don't think any 4th-round quarterback would be a starter coming out the gate. So those are my predictions and desired landing spots.
I love it. So I was taking a look just at some of the available picks for some of the teams that I felt like could use someone like Blake Freeland. And one that kind of jumps out is the Bengals. They did just sign Orlando Brown from the Chiefs at left tackle. But if we've learned anything about Blake Freeland, especially through the whole draft process, is he's very athletic. They could flip him over to right tackle. They could plug him in plenty of different places. And as we know, the Bengals more, I guess, more specifically, Joe Burrow has been running for his life behind his offensive line. So I could see them trying to get him. They do have a late second round pick at 60, which wouldn't be bad. But if I were to follow Hunter, your path at the third round, they do have the 92nd pick as well. So I do think that the Bengals could use him there. Looking at Jaren, I'm kind of interested to see if he could be one that they could, that a team like the Packers could pick up in a late enough round, like the fourth round, the fifth round, where he could be maybe not a threatening pick for Jordan Love, who's going to be taking over for his first season now with Aaron Rodgers departing, but could be somebody that could be fun to bring in case the Jordan Love experiment doesn't work out. And just kind of see what he can do. So I would look at the Packers.
Jaren would be starting by midpoint of the season.
and how insufferable would BYU fans be on Twitter, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But I do see that being a potential landing spot for him, just the Packers needing something just as a backup to Jordan Love and just reaching out and grabbing Jaren there. To be honest, Puka, not – I don't know if I'm really sure. I think it's not very original, but I think I'll go with you to the Raiders, mostly because I want to see Chandler freak out. I think that would be fun. But yeah.
Chandler would buy his jersey day one.
Oh, yes, absolutely. But yeah, the Bengals for Freeland, the Packers for Jaren, and then the Raiders for Puka. Rounds, obviously, TBD, but I agree with you. Maybe a little earlier in the second round for Blake Freeland, but otherwise I see all of them going in similar spots.
Good stuff. I am going to say I don't know anything about offensive line needs around the league, so I'm going to guess Blake Freeland to the Carolina Panthers. They're going to need to protect that new quarterback.
With Brady Christensen?
That'd be fine.
With Brady Christensen, reuniting with his old teammate. First pick of the third round, assuming the Panthers are still picking. First pick.
Brady's tackle, right?
He got moved to guard, I think.
That's what I thought too. Could you imagine? Just like it's like
entire Bryce BYU Young, offensive line.
Bryce Young and like the right side of the offensive line is Brady.
That'd be nuts. I will say I did talk to Blake. Ran into him at the gym a couple weeks ago and talked a little bit about his draft prospects. He's being told day two, so second, third round is probably where we're looking.
The Panthers do have a third round from the Niners, and they have their own fourth round pick. So
Bears need to tackle, Cardinals need to tackle, Titans, Jets need tackles, Patriots need.
I was gonna say the Jets, but I don't want them to have another BYU player as long as they live.
Commanders need a tackle. Steelers need a tackle. Buccaneers need a tackle. Chargers need a tackle. Jaguars. Yeah, so like there's a freaking more than half the league needs like offensive tackles. Yeah. Chiefs need a tackle. Chiefs.
Ooh, that could Chiefs. Be nice. Actually, no, that's a good fit. That's a good fit.
You got to replace Orlando Brown.
Andy Reid loves his BYU guys.
If the Chiefs picked Jaren in like the fourth round and then like Blake in the second or third round,
that'd be awesome.
I'd still hate the Chiefs. I'd still hate them with every fiber of my being, but be nice. I mean, Zane and Matt Bushman just got Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs. Why not add a couple more?
It's what they do. Okay, I am going to guess Zach and the Puka.
Oh, I forgot you didn't make your picks.
Yeah, thanks, so I'm gonna say Puka is going to go to – I saw him mock to the 49ers in the seventh round. I actually like that fit a lot. He is a player kind of in the Deebo Samuel mold, though not quite as athletic, I'd say. But definitely a weapon that would be used well in that offense. And Jaren, I'm actually going to say fourth round to the Vikings. I think that'd be a good landing spot. Have him learn behind Kirk Cousins for a little bit.
How much can you learn behind Kirk?
Yeah. But like,
you learn one thing, and it's throw to Justin Jefferson.
No, I'm going to be honest, though. Kirk Cousins is a he's white bread of quarterback. Like he's safe. He's inoffensive. He is the soft rock radio station that they play in stores across the country. But
Kirk Cousins Jared is the litmus kinda, test.
Yeah.
He's the NFL litmus test. If you have a quarterback who is better on your team that is better than Kirk Cousins, you have a very good quarterback.
Yeah, the Mendoza line, right?
If you have a quarterback, yeah. If you have a quarterback that is worse than Kirk Cousins, you need a new quarterback.
Right. So, I don't know. I love Jaren. I think there's a lot of safety to his game similar to what Kirk Cousins does. I think Jaren has certainly a high ceiling, but I think this year his lack of willingness to put the ball in harm's way over the middle of the field was a little concerning. But I don't know. Like that's probably why he wouldn't go as high as we all want him to. But I think Minnesota could be a good spot for him. Other NFL news, Zach Wilson is officially QB2 behind Aaron Rodgers. I have a hot take. I think this is going to be really good for Zach's career.
Like, 100%.
You're bringing in what they should have had all along. You're bringing in an experienced quarterback, and especially an experienced quarterback who plays the same style. Like Zach said during the pre-draft process, like Aaron Rodgers was his idol. So I think that's a really good fit for Zach. It'll hopefully be the restart that he needs. And I think it'll just be a good opportunity to learn to read defenses from one of the best.
Yeah, I immediately thought of Zach when I saw this news. I know one of the biggest things that I've been seeing mainly from Utah fans, let's be honest, is that like Aaron Rodgers doesn't come across as like the mentor type. He doesn't have to like immediately after every play go to Zach and be like, hey, did you see that? You know, did you see this? Do you know why I did this? He doesn't have to like completely take him under his wing. Like Zach has the brain, has the attitude, has working eyeballs to be able to watch Aaron Rodgers and take notes. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to talk during like QB film and like go over what he sees from a defense. Like that's something that Zach's going to be listening to that he's going to be taking a part in as well. And it doesn't have to be this whole like take your hand and like walk you through everything that I, Aaron Rodgers, am doing for Zach. Like just being in a room, like seeing like the different types of like things that Aaron Rodgers does to prepare for a game, like different rituals, like understanding how he takes care of his body, like what he needs to do during the offseason, like all these different things are things that Zach gets to learn for free without any pressure, without having to worry about the media, without having to worry about the fans, barring Aaron stays healthy, right? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And I think that Zach has shown enough intelligence and enough understanding in the game to be able to benefit from that. And I do, like you said, Joe, I think this benefits him in the long run. And in my opinion, the Jets, just this trade before anything else, like before Aaron even plays, like I think Aaron's going to make the Jets better. But purely for Zach's career, I think this is a huge step.
Can I just be real here for a second?
Please.
As BYU fans, we just need to start acknowledging that Zach Wilson has not been good.
No, he's been like horrible.
Terrible.
Like I've heard every excuse in the book. And like even still, like in the last couple of weeks, I think it was Brady Christensen who was on with Ben Criddle, who was like, oh, well, like Zach didn't have an offense with the New York Jets, like offense that he was comfortable running, like this and that. Like things didn't go well, and like there are issues, fundamental organizational issues with the New York Jets, and they are not blameless in how Zach's career has gone so far, and his teammates aren't blameless in how his career has gone so far. But Zach Wilson has not done himself a single favor for himself with the New York Jets. Like he didn't take accountability after that Patriots loss. We all know that. That was kind of a big turning point, I think, in his career and how his teammates viewed him. Like he's by all accounts a hard worker. John Beck, obviously, he was on Rich Eisen's show, talked about how hard Zach works and how he's focused on getting better, this and that. But like he has just flat out not been good. Aside from like drop issues with wide receivers in year one, aside from offensive line issues, like he just flat out has not been good. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that while also acknowledging that like, yeah, like New York Jets fans are going to be mad at him. They're not going to like him. He was supposed to be like the dude and he hasn't been in 2 years. And we can acknowledge that he's been bad and has these shortcomings while also saying like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to help his career. Like it should. And if it doesn't help his career, then I think Zach has no one to blame but himself really for how it's gone. Because now you have a golden opportunity. May not be with the best organization, but it's clearly with an organization that and new for the Jets is focused on winning and is going to do what it takes to win. Like they went out and got Aaron Rodgers. They're going to give him a butt ton of money. They're going out. They're getting weapons. They've drafted wide receivers and running backs and offensive weapons for him. And if Aaron Rodgers, when he leaves and if Zach becomes a starter again in New York and is good and great, like all credit to Zach, like he worked for it. But if he comes back in and is bad, like, sorry, like that's not the Jets issue anymore. Like that's a Zach Wilson issue. And I think it's okay as BYU fans to acknowledge it while still hoping that he's able to turn it around. And that's my Zach Wilson.
Here, here.
I've seen too much of like, oh, like blaming the Jets and like refusing to acknowledge that like Zach Wilson is just flat out no two ways about it. Like been a bad NFL quarterback for 2 years.
Yeah, I stopped blaming the Jets when he didn't take accountability after that Patriots loss. Like there's plenty, like four picks. Yeah, there's plenty of issues with the Jets that have stunted Zach's growth, but at this point it's a between the ears issue for Zach Wilson. I still think he's got all the talent in the world, but it right now comes down to processing speed and confidence. He kept panicking back there and was missing layups and it just nothing was going right.
No one had a worse situation, like as bad as Zach's situation is. And like the Jets, I've been saying it for years, and it's not just because I'm a Patriots fan, but like I was working for 960 when Zach was entering the draft. And in the months leading up, I talked about how terrible of a situation the Jets are. Now I didn't want Zach to go to the Jets because they ruin every quarterback. And as much as that is true, Zach did not have it worse than Trevor Lawrence had it their rookie seasons.
True.
Like Trevor Lawrence was being coached by Urban Meyer, who didn't even make it through like the first season before he was fired. He had no weapons. He had no help of the worst coach team, probably in NFL history. And Trevor Lawrence in year two with two years in the NFL is already on his second coach, second offensive scheme, all that comes in and leads the Jacksonville Jaguars to the playoffs.
And like, a playoff win.
Yeah. And a playoff win because they beat the Chargers, right?
Yes.
So like you can blame the situation all you want, but Trevor Lawrence is a guy who, despite a crappy situation, and I don't think anyone's, you know, we're not arguing that Zach's better than Trevor Lawrence. I don't think anyone's ever argued that Zach is better than Trevor Lawrence, at least not seriously. But like, we can't keep blaming the situation for Zach's shortcomings when Trevor Lawrence was able to do what he did. Because he had it so much worse than Zach did his first year. And if that rookie year didn't break Trevor Lawrence, like it shouldn't have broken Zach with the Jets either. So, right. You know, at some point I got to just be like, yeah, the Jets are crappy and it is what it is. But Zach, like you got to, you know, do yourself some favors. And he just hasn't done that to this point.
Yeah. No arguments. Do we get back into BYU specific?
Current Cougars.
So there's been honestly, there's actually been a ton of news since we last recorded, especially in the transfer portal. Some guys have left. I think most recent attrition, Isaiah Perez. Gonna be honest, I didn't know who that was when he entered the portal, but
there are some names where I was like, huh?
Best of luck to you at Eastern Washington. We got George Udo, Dean Jones, Logan Peely, all out. Zoom Esplin out. Brooks Miley, Mac Alalslo. I can't pronounce that. I apologize, Mac. But so those are all the names going out. And my gut reaction to all the names going out is how many of the dudes who are leaving BYU are going to FCS schools, at least on the defensive side. And I feel like that kind of says a lot, doesn't it?
Yep.
Like, I think that says a lot about the at least like the fringe player, like on defense, like the top level of BYU's defense, I think is talented enough to win games at a Power Five level. But, you know, when guys like George Udo are entering the portal and the only offers they're reporting right now are Northern Colorado, where Ed Lamb is now the head coach. Again, there were some serious flaws in BYU's defensive talent evaluation side of the recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to, this is going to sound probably it. Well, it's not probably, it's going to sound worse than I intend. I think you guys understand where I'm coming from. I just hope the listeners understand. We've obviously talked a lot in the past about how Ed Lamb and kind of the defensive recruiting philosophy was recruiting projects, because we didn't think that we could be able to pull some of these bigger recruits, right? And I know that Jeff Hansen and others have talked about how, you know, you can bring in projects and that's fine, but the entire base of the defense can't be based around projects because they don't all pan out, and that stars matter and that all these different things. And I think that the transfer portal, especially with what we're seeing and where these guys are ending up going, is that these are projects that are kind of going back to where they really should have been probably in the first place. Again, not to insult them at all, but these are just guys that were like, okay, yeah, like these are probably FCS guys that we think could do something special that just didn't pan out. And now where are they going? They're going back to Northern Colorado. They're going to Weber. They're going to Eastern Washington. They're going to these places. And we're now starting to kind of do it the right way, where there were projects like an Eddie Heckert who started at Weber State, but turns out he's the real deal. Now he's going to a Power Five football program along with his coach, right? Like a lot of these different guys that have proven at a lower level that they're not just projects, that they're legit. And here they are. This whole transfer portal thing, we talked about it a little bit before the show, but it feels like, especially in this class so far, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it just feels like it's given more than it's taketh so far. And that's something that I could get used to.
Totally. And that was going to be my next question, is like, with all the people, I remember when the transfer portal first opened up and BYU lost, you know, Clark Barrington, Logan Fano, Campbell Barrington, like the mood around BYU was like, oh my gosh, Kalani's, Keenan Peely, Gabe Judulali. It's like, oh my gosh, Kalani's lost the locker room. BYU's a dumpster fire. Like it's over. Pack it up and go home. But am I crazy? Is it an overreaction to say BYU has actually come out ahead in this transfer portal situation this offseason?
I mean, I don't think it's crazy at all. Like, if you go down the list, like, Campbell Barrington is such an interesting one, and I think kind of an outlier, because most BYU fans figured he was gone anyway. Like, BYU Clark, yeah. Like, Clark Barrington, it was like, oh, yeah, he's gone. He's going to the NFL. Like, he's gone still, but he just happened to be going to Baylor instead of the NFL. So, like, that one, like, I almost don't even count as a loss, because we were already anticipating losing him to begin with. But, like, if you look at some of the other ones, you lose Campbell Barrington, but you gain Caleb Etienne, right? You lose Gabe Judulali, but you bring in Eddie Heckert. You lose Keenan Peely, but you bring in AJ. I'm not even going to try to pronounce
Von,
the last Von, name.
Von Fichon.
There you go. Nailed it. from Utah State, right? Like, you lose players, and, like, good players. Like, I don't think anyone, like, Keenan Peely is a good player. Like, was I overly impressed with his 2022 season? No. Like, he still was a solid player for BYU. Gabe Judulali, I think, is one that I would say was the biggest loss, but bringing in Eddie Heckert, like, more than makes up for that, in my opinion. And I think it's interesting. I want to go back just quickly, speaking of Eddie Heckert, to what Trevor said, where the previous staff just made it so much harder on themselves because they were trying to find that Eddie Heckard before they became Eddie Heckard, if that makes sense. Right. Like they were going after the guys who were FCS talent out of high school that they thought by the end of their college career would be P5 level starters. And more often than not, projects coming out of high school and FCS level talent coming out of high school stays kind of FCS level talent. So instead of trying to identify that out of high school, just go get the Eddie Heckards that are already out there at the FCS level, there for the taking, right? So I think it's so interesting because like you look at it, like four, I think, of the players who left are already going to have already committed to FCS programs. And then you kind of look at the people who have entered the portal recently, who are probably going to end up at FCS level schools. Who haven't committed already. So I think far and away BYU has benefited more than they've lost from the portal, because I think every player they've lost, they've brought in an equivalent or an upgrade. And then on top of that, you've brought in your 2023 starting quarterback and running back duo in Keaton Slovis and Aiden Robbins.
Like which that's, Aiden, sorry, keep going. No, keep going.
No, I was going to say, and those are like the two most important positions to get in the portal, right? Like you need a starting caliber running back, which BYU didn't have on their roster. Like I think Miles Davis and Hinkley Rapati are really, really good horses to have in the stable when they're not the number one option. Like when Hinkley Rapati is the one that's coming off the bench on third down, or Miles Davis is coming in specific packages, you've got a really, really good running back room. But if either of those two guys are RB1, I'm a little concerned. You also brought in Keaton Slovis, who is obviously like one of the premier, if not the premier quarterback that was out on the train. I guess DJ Uiagalelei was probably the premier guy that everyone probably wanted, or at least the highest rated. But like Keaton Slovis, even coming out of high school and then at USC and then coming from Pitt, even though he was on a down year, like was a good get for BYU.
Especially after like the most recent stuff came out, like DJ Uiagalelei just had a article in The Athletic where he was talking, like he just basically blasted Clemson and says like, yeah, the system sucked. Like they didn't put me in a position to succeed. Like it felt kind of, dare I say, Zach Wilson-esque after that Patriots game, where he just like, he didn't take accountability. Like yeah. DJ was bad at Clemson because DJ was bad. Like he was missing 5-yard hitches. Like it wasn't, I don't
think the Trevor Lawrence system was that system.
Right. So I'm okay that BYU said no and passed on that. And I think again, there's a reason he ended up at Oregon State.
Yeah. He was just the biggest name.
Yeah. No, this
name in the portal.
But I think like for what BYU is trying to do, I think Keaton Slovis is excellent. Oh, 100%. I'm trying not to read too much into the spring game, nor should anyone, because I mean, offense, super vanilla, defense, super vanilla, like BYU is going out of their way not to show a single thing. I was a little concerned.
Plays are coming.
Yeah. I was a little concerned with the accuracy a little bit just because like the timing fell off, but that's normal. Like these guys have been working together for like 2 weeks. So
it also was like 30 degrees and he's an Arizona, California kid.
Yeah, so I think Keaton, like based on the reports from spring practice, like Keaton lit it up. So I'm going to trust that that's good. Aiden Robbins was obviously a massive pickup. I think he was the highest rated player BYU got out of the portal. But then to take your thing a little bit farther, like you lost Campbell Barrington and you brought in a guy like Caleb Etienne from Oklahoma State, who's a P5 transfer, starter all 13 games last year, and was in the portal for 5 minutes before he committed to BYU. Like, more of that, please. I want all of the P5 starters to just, like, want to show up to BYU and do great. But
just don't look at the PFF grades.
Oh, his PFF.
Pass blocking's good.
His pass blocking grades sucked in PFF, but he gave up one sack all season last year.
His run blocking grades.
Oh, his run blocking's bad, but like,
bad. Worst in college football, bad.
But he's got enough potential. Like he got rated an 89 out of the portal, which is borderline 4-star player. Yeah, like
you can't coach 6'7", 350.
I'd take, like, I would take him over Campbell Barrington right now, which, again, might be a hot take, but, like, you could do a lot worse for your starting right tackle than that. So, I don't know. And kind of want to get your guys' feel on this. I think coming out of spring ball, the first team at every position on the field, I feel really good about. Like, Keaton Slovis, feel great about. Aiden Robbins, I feel great about. Top three receivers, I feel great about. Offensive line, starting five, feel great about. Even on defense, the defensive line still has some concerns. But I think the combination of A.J. Von Fichon, Max Tooley, and Ben Bywater are a great linebacking trio. You got Jacob Robinson and Eddie Heckert at corner. Micah Harper and Malik Moore at safety. Hopefully we'll get one more of those out of the transfer portal.
Subscribe to Coot Connect, by the way, to find out who we're talking about.
Hoping that happens. But, like, again, first level of the defense and offense feel great. I am terrified about the depth at, like, 20 out of the 22 positions. Because quarterback, I feel fine about. Like, Jake Retzlaff, going to be great. Running back, great. Offensive line, especially with all the transfers being brought in, this offensive line, I think, is going to be super deep.
Wide receivers, like, after the first three. I was looking at the depth chart, like, a couple weeks back, and I wanted to be like, guys, are we, like, sure we're all right with this wide receiver room? Because
I love Hobbs Nyberg.
Yeah.
Great returner. Love Talmadge Gunther. But they were getting run. They were getting run with the first team in the spring game, and that's really concerning. So,
you can love a player while recognizing that if, like, Talmadge Gunther's the one running routes against Oklahoma at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in November, BYU might be in a little trouble.
Right. So, but, like, yeah, there's a chance that, like, Dom Henry, heard great stuff about him out of spring practice. Koa Eldridge. Devin Downing. Like, you got guys.
Chase were, like, the best high school wide receiver duo in the state of Utah all time.
Right. And then you bring in JoJo Phillips and, like, see what he looks like in fall camp. But again, these are dudes who have never played a snap of college football in a real game. So the potential is there. I really worry about the experience level, and with Cody Epps and Chase Roberts are sure to get hurt at some point this season. So I think you need to bring in at least two wide receivers out of the portal.
Come on, Keanu. All our hopes lie on the shoulders of Keanu Hill. Which, there are worse guys for your hopes to lie on.
Yeah.
And we'll talk with him on the cruise, and I'm sure we can bring that up with him.
But I don't know. Let's do this. Offense, better or worse than last year?
Can I say same? Is that
I wanted to say same too. That was knee jerk.
But I feel like that's good. Yeah. If the offense
BYU's offense was good.
If the offense is same level of explosiveness as it was last year, BYU, like, I think, well, BYU was top 15 in yards per play. So yeah. I think that's, if you're a wash on offense, that's a huge win, especially with what you lost.
Maybe a little worse, but, like, I don't think noticeably worse. Like,
I'm going to say a little worse just because of the wide receiver room.
I'm just going to say because of quarterback. Like, you had Jaren Hall, who had been in the system for, like, 5 years. Like, he knew the coaches, he knew the plays. Like, it was his second year as a full-time starter. Like, that's hard to replicate with a guy who's just transferred in. Like, as good as Keaton Slovis. Like, I think it can be as good if Keaton Slovis comes in and looks good. But if things are a little rocky with Keaton, then obviously it's going to be worse. I think it might be one of those situations where you, like, the eyeball test tells you that it's the same. And then you just look at, like, those advanced numbers, like yards per play and stuff, and you realize, oh, it was, like, a little worse, but not noticeably.
No, it's totally fair.
The only reason it stays the same for me is because I think you're right, Joe. Like, I think losing a guy like Puka is, it's a big hit, but I just feel like our starting running back is noticeably better. Like, and that's nothing on Chris Brooks or any of those guys.
Brooks slander.
But Aiden Robbins is a dog, and I just think he can be one of those guys that's a game changer.
The 1-2 punch of him, Hinkley Rapati, why am I blanking on his name? Not even Miles. Just got off his mission, Helu. I think it's like Luku Heve Helu. He just got off his mission. He looked really good in the spring game.
Kirk Lawson.
But and then you bring in LJ Martin, obviously a true freshman.
We'll see LJ.
We'll see what he looks like. Running back room is
we're better. We're better.
I forgot about LJ. Let's go.
The running back room is infinitely better. Wide receiver room is worse. Tight end room is probably about the same. I actually think Anthony Olson's going to be good. If you guys even know who that is, he was Jake Retzloff's favorite target in the spring game. But I watched some of his high school tape. He's only been playing football for like a year and he's awesome.
10 minutes after Joe's like, don't read too much into the spring game. He's like, this guy looks so good.
It wasn't just the spring game. It was also the highlight clips that BYU football put out on their Instagram page.
No, it's like the most BYU. I mean, all college football fans do it, but just being like, hey, Keaton Slovis didn't look super great, but it's a spring game. Anthony Olson looked awesome in the spring game. Let's go. If they look bad in the spring game, we don't count it. If they look good in the spring game, that's all we need to know.
Ryder Burton coming out and slinging it all over the field. That's the next BYU Heisman Trophy winner there. Keaton Slovis can't read into it.
Maybe if Talmadge Gunther is running routes against Oklahoma at LES in November, we're at a great spot on the spring game.
Oh, man.
John Beck back out there from counting the spring game.
All right. Defense, better or worse than last year?
Oh, so much
better.
Worse. Oh, better.
Hunter.
Dumb brain moment.
Again, you're losing the guys that you're losing from the defense last year. Literally one for one. If you took Weber State's defense and BYU's defense and you just completely flipped them, I think BYU would have won one more game with Weber State's defense.
I would have said like three more games.
Oh, jeez.
What was BYU's record? 7-5?
I guess eight and five.
We take Weber State over
10-2. BYU's 11-2 with Weber State's defense last year.
Like it was bad.
Like 7 points. BYU gave up what, like 20 something?
It was bad.
We did like a 1-to-1 comparison, I think, on like Weber. Here's what Weber State's defense did against Utah State. Here's what BYU's defense did against Utah State. And BYU was facing like their backup, like their quarterback.
No, literally, like if you took Weber State's secondary and just one for one switched it with BYU, BYU does not allow a 200-yard passer all year. Like it sounds ridiculous. Like I'm not exaggerating when I say BYU's defense was FCS level bad last season.
Oh, I mean,
transfers are going. And some of you are listening to this and saying, Joe, you were like the biggest Tuiaki defender of anyone. And that's still true. I still think the issue was never with Tuiaki as a intelligent mind.
As an X's and O's, man.
It was all him and Ed Lamb, their absolute incompetence in recruiting and Ed Lamb's insistent desire that scheme wins everything. So, okay, we're rehashing stuff that we've already solved. But I think, again, with the addition of Jay Hill, the aggressive defense, all reports out of spring practice was the defense like dominated the offense in every way. I can't use colorful language on here because I'm a good young man and who's never said a bad word
yet.
But no, the defense kicked the offense's butt all spring.
Weber State's defense held opponents to 20 points per game and under 200 passing yards per game.
Yep.
BYU's defense gave up 240 passing yards per game. And can I find points anywhere? I don't see points. Oh, scoring perhaps? No. But more than 20 points per game is what they gave up. I'm confident in saying that without looking at numbers.
Yeah.
There was a four-game stretch where we were the worst defense in college football.
Yeah.
God, that was so
that might include the FCS level too.
That was such a bad year.
So disappointing.
What a waste of potential that was.
It really was.
Now I'm sad about it again.
Sad boy.
Like Jaren Hall, Puka, Chris Brooks, Keanu Hill, Cody Epps, Isaac Rex.
We need a cruise.
All that wasted.
Yeah, we should all go on a cruise. But my number one concern with the defense. Go ahead.
We should draw straws for who has to like ask Max Tooley about last year's defense.
Dude, I volunteer. I want to know everything.
Oh, also, sorry. This is completely off topic. If there are questions you want us to ask these four guys, tweet at us.
Yes, please.
Because we'll ask them, obviously. Like, we'll do the interviews live from, like, the hot tub on the cruise. Like, so, what was last year's defense like with Tuiaki and Ed Lamb, huh?
Dude, Mason's going to have some stories.
We'll have to cut a lot of Mason's interviews.
But, so, I think the defense is going to be better. But, I worry about the depth a lot. At pretty much every position. I have no idea who our linebackers after the top three are going to be. I keep forgetting Chaz Ayu is still on the team and will be one of probably that fourth linebacker to come in. Secondary, again, top line I feel great about, but after Eddie Heckard and Jacob Robinson, you're looking at really unproven guys like Mori Bamba to come in and play significant snaps. So I think wish list for BYU out of this next transfer portal window, I think you need at least one to two corners, you need one to two defensive linemen, and you need minimum of two receivers.
Yeah.
Maybe a linebacker, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about just the defense that Jay Hill wants to run, right?
But which it's going to be.
Wide receivers are so tough because I'm like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, go get guys, please. Like, if you can get a grad transfer guy, do it. But it's also just like, why not? Like, if this is going to be a learning year, like, I don't think anyone is expecting BYU to go out and compete for a Big 12 championship, right? Like, I think if BYU is
win six games,
yeah. So I'm almost of the opinion of like, yeah, the wide receiver room is going to be thin. But if there are 10 snaps a game that need to go to a fourth or fifth wide receiver on the depth chart, I'd rather those snaps go to JoJo Phillips and Dom Henry than to some guy who's going to be here for a year and then bounce. You know, like, yeah, it's a wash anyway. Like, this year is all about getting better and getting ready for the Big 12. We're not trying to win championships this year. I mean, I'm always trying to win championships, but BYU's not going to be competing for championships this year. Give those snaps to a guy who could benefit from them and will benefit BYU in the long run. You know, like if you don't feel confident in giving JoJo Phillips those snaps, then it's, I think, like, I'm probably reading too much into it, but like, that might be an issue. Like, if you're not willing to give the kid five snaps a game, you know?
No, I think that's valid. Like, this is going to be a very 2019, 2018 type year for BYU where you're going to see a lot of youth. And I think that's a good thing. Like,
yeah, because those years gave us 2020 and 2021.
Right. I'm totally fine if we see a lot of Koa Eldridge this year or a lot of Devin Downing or a lot of JoJo Phillips. Like,
again,
if you're going to take the lumps, like, I want to see if these guys can compete at this level. So I think it's better probably to find that out sooner rather than later. Are we still sitting on our six win predictions?
I mean, I think I said like nine.
Six,
so.
I said 10. So.
Yes. I say that now, and then as soon as BYU loses their first game, I'm gonna throw the biggest fit on this podcast.
It's Hunter, it's what you do, and it's why we love you.
I mean, it's not
why you're here.
It's not the reasonably level-headed train.
We might need to come up with a new name because it's not always hype. It's just severe swings of emotion.
It's not even a train.
The Bipolar Train podcast.
Yeah.
The Bipolar Express.
Not a train. It's a friggin' pendulum of back and forth, highs and lows, roller coaster.
Good stuff.
We can't say that, Hunter. We can't be like the BYU Swingers podcast. Like, that's just awkward.
Unless. We are cruising with some cougars this weekend. Let's go, boys.
Let's go. Anything else you guys want to talk about? BYU just signed their seventh highest recruit ever in basketball, or just committed their seventh highest recruit ever in basketball. But we already blew our basketball budget for the next decade on the last show.
You want to get crazy? We can talk about women's basketball.
Pass. I'm just kidding. Lauren Gustin sucks to lose.
If Lauren Gustin goes to the U, it'll make me more upset than Logan Fauna going to the U. I'm just going to say that. And I don't even care about it. I mean, will I get canceled for saying I don't really care about women's basketball? I don't care about women's basketball in the sense that I don't care about like BYU rugby. How's that?
Sure.
That's fair.
That works.
Even, right?
All
fair, equality.
Except rugby's not even a licensed NCAA sport. Say swim and dive.
Men's track and field. I know you're thinking it. Screw both of you. We'll call it good.
Not only do they have a men's track and field team, it's one of the best in the country. we are not going to talk about BYU baseball giving up more points or runs to Utah than they did in the last football game.
Can we talk about BYU baseball freaking hitting 12 home runs in three games against North Carolina Greensboro? Because
I haven't been to a single game this year, and I feel
it's been pretty... so cold. It's been so cold.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like 70 degrees when BYU baseball's on the road, and they come back to Provo, and it's like, oh, we got another winter storm warning this weekend. Check out the Cougars in Provo against UVU. But, I mean, 12 home runs in three games, freaking, they're mashing.
I want BYU to be good in baseball so bad when they go to the Big 12. Like, I just I want them to be good so bad.
Oh, I thought you were like, I want them to be bad.
I want them, like, almost more than any other sport, I want them to be good at baseball because Big 12 baseball is so awesome.
It's really awesome, yeah. I don't know if BYU baseball will ever be good. Like, who's coming to Provo, Utah to play baseball when your season, when 90% of your season, it's like you have to shovel the field before you play? Like, it's just such a hard sell. Like, football, they don't care. But, like, for baseball, it's like, do you want to be wearing friggin', like, hand warmers and beanies under your hats every single game?
Yeah. When
you could go to one of the Arizona schools or Florida or whatever.
Well, they did just sign a 5-star pitcher from Texas A&M, so there's that. But, the BYU baseball's biggest issue is, dude, they're the Angels. They really are. Like, I'm cursed. They have a fantastic lineup who just hits bombs on bombs on bombs, but they have no pitching staff, no relief, no bullpen.
It's called Gamble, Shohei of West Coast Conference baseball, minus the pitching aspect. Some are saying
Austin Denning is Trout. I don't know. Ryan Sapedi is Walsh. Matt Walsh.
I have no rooting interest in the Angels. But when people say it's Trout and Ohtani and then a bunch of bums, it kind of hurts my feelings because I really like Jared Walsh and Taylor Ward because
they're amazing.
They were really cool guys when I worked for the Bees. They played for the Bees and they were both like very cool.
They're beasts. And then you got Hunter Renfro of the baseball variety. Like the Angels lineup is amazing. But again, yesterday, this is so stupid. I'm sorry. This is a BYU podcast, but I just need to vent about this. BYU scored was down by four runs in like the seventh inning, scored five to take the lead. Then the closer comes in the ninth, gives up a run in the ninth. Then the bases are loaded. The A's have four wins all season. And one of them is against the Angels already. and some guy hits a bomb almost for a grand slam, and Taylor Ward has to go and bring it back, robs a game-winning grand slam. And then in the 10th inning, the A's scored three more runs. Like,
yeah, they stink. What do you want?
Angels are pitching is trash. We drafted 20 freaking pitchers 2 years ago. Every single draft pick in the 2019 draft was a pitcher, and none of them are on the roster. It's so bad. Rant over.
I was going to try to think of a sports team you have that's good, but none are coming to mind. I was like, well, at least you have. Baby.
BYU football, 15-0.
BYU track and field, let's go. All right, boys.
All right, appreciate you.
Good talking with you. We'll be cruising this weekend. Oh, my legs are so white right now.
Oh, dude. Yeah. It's bad.
I'm sorry if you see me on the cruise. But by the end, hopefully it's better. All right.
All right, dudes. Let's go party. Love you guys. We'll see you. Good cruise.